Good morning, everyone. We're going to start with a video.
A new life from the most impossible place, a grave. Nonetheless, he's here. Impossible. Yesterday, what looked like his failure was literally set in stone. But this morning, that stone is no longer where it was, and everything has changed.
Everything has changed.
The enemy has been beaten. Crushed, really. The celebration of what he pulled off Friday, it's over. How did this happen? He was lost, but now he's here. Right in front of me. I didn't know it was him. Who would? But if it is, if it's him, it changes everything. It changes who I thought he was. It changes who I thought the enemy was. It changes me. He is risen.
He is risen. He is risen indeed. Should we try that again? He is risen. We have had some really moving services this week, but today is the time to celebrate. We are celebrating this amazing story of Jesus coming back to life and changing everything, and we're going to be looking at throughout this service. Welcome to all of you who are visiting. I know there's a few people who are here for the first time. Particularly good to see you here. And welcome to everybody who's watching online later on this afternoon or later on this week. It's really good to have you with us. Even if you're not here in person, you are really important to us being ministering to you and joining with you in the celebration today. I'd love us to stand, and we're just going to say some opening sentences as we begin and go into song. Friends, the tomb is empty. The stone has been rolled away. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. For 3 days, he lay in that cold and lonely cave. But God's love cannot be contained by anything, not even death. And now he is risen. Alleluia. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Come, let us worship the risen Christ together. And we're going to do that by singing that great Easter hymn, Thine Be the Glory. And I'd love any children and any adults, if they want to as well, to come and grab an instrument and make a big noise as we celebrate that Jesus is alive.
Has won.
And Lord, yours be the glory on this really special day where we celebrate your rising again from the dead and all that that means to us. We thank you for what you've done for us. We praise you. We glorify you. And we just ask that as we hear this story afresh again this morning, that you would speak to us something new, that you would meet us, that you would resurrect us where we need to be resurrected in our faith, and draw us closer to you, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Do take a seat, please. If you need to move the tomb a little bit, then do. Now, the children, I'm glad to see a few more children in than when we started. The children are going to go out in a moment to do a few bits and pieces with Helen. Pathfinders are going to stay in with us. But this morning, I thought, you know, Easter is the greatest day in history. And so we need to have a proper celebration today. And we've not had much chance to celebrate properly over the last 2 years, have we? It's actually fantastic. This is the first Easter Day service for 3 years where we have a packed church. I looked at the register. We had 48 people last year and none in here the year before. It's so lovely to have Easter with a packed church. But I thought we would celebrate in true style today. And in order to celebrate properly and have a proper celebration, I think we need chocolate, don't you? And lots of it. So, I'm going to tell you the Easter story this morning, but in a slightly different way. I'm going to tell you the Easter story with lots and lots and lots of chocolate in. You see, as I tell you the Easter story, I'm going to slip in a few references to a few different types of chocolates. And I want you to count how many different types of chocolate I slip in. So who's noticed the first one I've already slipped in? You weren't listening, were you? You see, I talked about celebration. You've got to be sharp, you know. You've got to be sharp. And just to get this one out of the way, we have an Easter egg as a prize. And I'd like to have two families. I'd like to pit two families against each other. So we got two families. What about the two families on the front bench? Okay. So we have the left-hand side and we have the right-hand side. Are you ready? And your sides can help you. Because what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to tell you the malt Easter story. So we're already up to how many? Three. I haven't got them all in here, don't worry. There's just those three. Are you ready? So I hope by now you all know that Easter is the topic of this special service. And I'm sure you already know the story because you're all a bunch of smarties. But we're just going to have a little recap before we chomp our way through all the chocolates. See, Jesus, the Son of God, who made the galaxy and the Milky Way, came to this earth as a human in the person of Jesus to be just like us. It all started with a Christmas story, of course, when Jesus was bornville in a stable in Bethlehem, which certainly wasn't on Quality Street, I can tell you. But though Jesus was divine, he was also fully human, like you and like me, although he might have had curly-whirly hair. Now, unlike you and me, he lived a perfect life and never did anything wrong. But his life was no picnic, I tell you. You see, when Jesus was 30, he got baptized, and then he spent some time out in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights. All on his Toblerone. He was so hungry, but he was strong, and he didn't give in, even when things got a bit rocky. And that's why we have Lent. Are you still counting? A lot of people didn't really like Jesus. And you know, that's the kind of the same today. You see, some people think that if you believe in God and believe that this Easter story is really true, that you're a bit weird. You're a bit of a fruit and nut, they might whisper in your ear. But that's okay. Because back then, when Jesus said that he was the Son of God, people thought he was lying, and a troublemaker. And because of that, he had a huge bounty on his head. Well, Judas, one of his friends, ended up betraying him for 30 gold coins. And then others watched as the soldiers walnut whipped him and hit him with a club. Then they thought it'd be funny to twirl together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They nailed him to a cross. They stuck an arrow, actually a spear in his side. And sometime after 8, he died. Gets worse. Then they took him away to Cadbury him in a tomb. But then we know what happens next. The most incredible thing. 3 days later, he came back to life. You see, angels came to roll away the stone. And Jesus was back like the most super of heroes. You see, on that Easter Sunday morning, Jesus rose from the dead. And the amazing news is that Jesus died for everyone. Old and young, rich and poor, even if they don't have a dime between them. And why do Christians say they had to die, that he had to die? Well, you see, the truth is that all the nasty twicks we play on each other, all the bad things we do and say, all our sin, as the Bible calls it, all of that stuff mars our relationship with God. But Christians believe that Jesus died so that friendship with God would be mended, so that we can revel again in his goodness and be forgiven and have a new life both now and when we die. You see, that first Easter morning changed the world forever and caused a ripple through the whole cosmos. For the tomb was empty, to everyone's amazement. Jesus had risen from the dead, and there never has been a kinder kind of surprise. So happy Easter, everybody. So the question is, how many? More than 20? Yes. More than 30? Yes. 31? Yes. 32? Yes. I'm just checking. 33? Yes. 34? Yes. 35? Yes. 36? Yes. 37? Yes. 38? Yes. 39? What are you guys saying? The answer actually was 37. Well done, Isaac. You know, Isaac actually gets the prize. But as you guys did so well, you can have the Maltesers and you can have the celebrations. We're going to say a prayer and then the children are going to go out and have some fun with Helen. But let's pray. Lord, we thank you that on Easter Day we have so much to celebrate. We thank you that we have so much more than chocolate to celebrate. And we thank you that on that cross that you did die for us. And maybe just in the quiet, let's think of anything that we want to say sorry to God for right now. Maybe stuff we've done this week that actually isn't what he'd have wanted us to do. Let's be quiet and just say sorry before the cross. And we say sorry knowing that actually because of Jesus' cross, we can be forgiven. All that, all those mistakes, all that stuff we get wrong can be wiped clean, can be put as far as the east is from the west, so that when God sees us, he just puts his arms around us and he loves us. And he says, welcome home. So thank you, Jesus, for the Easter story. We pray blessing on our children as they go out and have some fun now. And we look forward to them rejoining us later on. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you are under 11, if you're 11, you can go if you like as well. But if you're under 11, off you go to Helen. You're going to be out for about half an hour, and you're going to come in and join us for communion later. And we're going to carry on in prayer, and Colin's going to come and lead us in prayer without chocolate.
I am tempted to say, let's Ferrero Rocher, but let's pray. Father, we rejoice this morning as we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. We thank you that he overcame death and in so doing offers us both eternal life and a fullness of life now lived in the power of his resurrection. Forgive us, Father, if we, like the early disciples, sometimes find it hard to grasp the wonder of this amazing, world-changing event. We thank you for all that this means to us as it brings hope from despair, a spirit of joy from the ashes of disappointment, and a promise of life when it seems everything was hopeless or even impossible. And so we lift you now those situations in which, humanly speaking, we see despair and hopelessness. Firstly, we lift to you the war in Ukraine, especially the suffering and ill treatment of human life, which we hear and see daily on our TV screens. We pray for peace and justice to return to both Ukraine and Russia. May you bless and encourage all those involved in helping the millions of refugees fleeing the area. And especially today, we pray for Terry and Hanka as they direct and support so many families in their home and church. And we also pray a blessing on Debbie and Barry as they seek to coordinate support in this community here in Malvern. We also lift to you those who are suffering from the impacts of the rampant hike in the cost of energy and the general cost of living, as it's affecting so many families. And we continue to pray for those suffering from the ongoing impact of COVID, which is so prevalent in our community and affecting so many of our fellowship. We lift each of these scenarios to you and ask that the hope and comfort of Jesus' resurrection may be poured into the lives of those suffering and struggling to cope. May we seek to show the love of Jesus and his life-giving peace to those we meet on our front lines, in our neighbourhoods and in our community. In the name of Jesus, our risen Saviour. Amen.
Thanks, Colin. And just to say, we're going to have a retiring collection today for the work of Terry and Hanka English, who are some of our mission partners who are in Czech Republic but are doing a lot of work with Ukrainian refugees that they have there. For those of you who don't know, they've set up a school over there, and we're going to take a retiring collection for their work to bless them at today's service, if you'd like to contribute to that. Just a few notices before we then have our Bible reading. Just after Easter, we're going to have something called the Start Course, which is a course to just explore what the Christian faith is all about. If after today you would like to find out a bit more about that, then do speak to me afterwards or have a look on our website particularly. And there are some of these little cards around that you can take. And that's got the link to the website, which gives you a bit more details. But it's a great little course if you want to find out more about what this story is all about. I've also got something called the Real Deal Live coming up a week on Wednesday. It's not very far away now, 10 days away. And this is a guy called Rod Williams, who's an amazing magician, who also has had his life transformed by Jesus. And he's going to do some magic tricks here, and he's going to talk about his story. There are limited tickets available. If you'd like a ticket, then book online on our website or catch the folk at the welcome desk afterwards. But a really special evening if you'd like to come along to that. Those of you who are in our church family, we are in the middle of Giving Month. Thank you so much to those people who have brought their envelopes and responses back already. We'd love to have everybody's response by May the 1st. We are at the moment working on the adverts for the new roles, and we would love to be able to know whether we're able to go out to advert early on in May, according to the response from the giving month. So if you can get those back to us, that would be really helpful. And if you haven't picked up details or a letter, then again, go and find the information on the welcome desk or on our website. If you're new and want to connect with us, then there's this button on our website, which if you click that, that will give you a place to fill in your details so that you can get our weekly electronic mailing, which gives more details of what's going on. We'd love to connect up with you via that. That's all the notices. We're going to do lots of singing in the second half of the service. So if you're thinking you haven't sung a song for a while, it's all coming. Marion's now going to come and read to us first thing.
Right, the reading's from the concluding part of Mark, chapter 15, verse 42 to 16:16. And it's on page 1023 in the Church Bible. It was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So, as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear Jesus was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone, because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord, give us open ears to hear what you want to say to us today. Give us open hearts that will be softened and transformed by your Easter story once again, we pray. and just come and meet us now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, some of you will know that I love my football. And especially when Spurs and the Rector's fantasy football team are on a good stream of good form, which they were until yesterday. And football has often been described as the beautiful game. Now, there's a bit of dispute over who first used that phrase, whether it was the Brazilian footballer Pelé, or whether it was the football commentator Stuart Hall of It's a Knockout fame. Who remembers It's a Knockout? Yeah, great. They don't make telly like that these days, do they? But it doesn't really matter who came up with that phrase. You know, some of you here, a few of you, will appreciate that football is a beautiful game. And a lot of you will probably not appreciate that football is a beautiful game. And I want to reassure those of you that I'm not going to talk about football anymore in this talk. Because I'm not here to talk about the beautiful game today. I'm here to talk about the beautiful story. The beautiful Christian story of which Easter is right at the centre. And just like with football, you know, many do already see the beauty in this story. But there are also many, many people who have never grasped the beauty of this story. Who just look at this story and see the exact opposites of beauty. And the beautiful story starts with a beautiful beginning. We read right at the start of the Bible, it starts with God creating a beautiful world, which he was pleased with, very pleased. And he blessed it. You see, the beautiful story starts with blessing. God blessed his world, saying that it was good, very good, and inviting his people to tend and care for that world that he'd made. A beautiful beginning of God blessing his beautiful world. And yet, we look at the world now, don't we? And we see just how far from that original creation we have come. I'm sure we've all been devastated with the appalling pictures and stories coming out of Ukraine in these last fortnights as the true extent of what has happened has emerged to the world. You know, they are the most dreadful news pictures and stories that I think I've ever seen in my lifetime. And I know that what's going on out in Ukraine has led many people to question, where is God in all of this? I know because we've had some of those questions around our dinner table. And I've had it with some of those conversations with some of you. And it's a good question and it's a right question to ask. But it's also a question I think that the Easter story can begin to answer. And one of the other questions that people are asking, I think, at this time is how will it all end? It's not just a question about Ukraine, but actually after living through 2 years of COVID and then war now, many people, I think, are anxious and fearful about what is happening in our world and are asking what next? How will it all end? But in these anxious times, in this broken world of ours, Christians have good news to tell and great hope to bring. There's good news and great hope because we know that there's not just a beautiful beginning to this story, but there's a beautiful and glorious ending to the story too. For we're told in Revelation 21, the penultimate chapter of the Bible, we're told of a new heaven and a new earth where one day everything is put right and finally restored, where there's no longer any pain and suffering and tears and death, and where once more God lives with his people in perfect peace and perfect rest for all of eternity. That was the story that we were speaking about on Monday afternoon here at St. Andrew's at Niven's Thanksgiving service. Some of you who know Niven. It was a really special service. But that stuff was the hope that we were rejoicing in our tears and our sadness at his loss. And that's the hope that means that every suffering story, every story of struggle and hardship, every story of depression and sadness, every story of war and evil, of loss and tragedy, can have a glorious ending, a happy ending, a hope-filled ending. And at Niven's Thanksgiving service, several of us who had the privilege of seeing him in his last days testified of how clearly he was having real visions of that new heaven and new earth in his last hours. You know, he spoke of seeing Jesus holding out his hand to him. He spoke of gates that he was approaching. And to me, in our conversation just 3 days before he died, he kept stopping mid-sentence in our conversation and just saying, "Beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful." You know, I believe God was giving dear Niven a glimpse of that beautiful ending that he was about to experience and that is offered to each one of us too. But what's the missing piece that connects the pain and struggle of this present world to that glorious ending? Well, of course, it's the Easter story. This story that we've been retelling this week, this story which changes everything. And it's the story of a suffering God right in the midst of this beautiful story. You see, this beautiful story has a beautiful but shocking middle, an unexpected middle, a middle which no one could have predicted, not even those closest to Jesus. That's why they were all so afraid that Sunday morning. That's why Jesus' disciples doubted and time and time again wouldn't believe when Jesus talked about how he was going to have to suffer. Because this was the middle of the story that no one was expecting, that no one else could have written. It's the story of the Son of God. Fully human and fully divine. No, we're not playing chocolate anymore. Suffering and dying on a wooden cross for you and for me. With nails through his hands and feet. With a crown of thorns and blood streaming down his head. And lacerations on his body where he'd been whipped and beaten. It's the story of Jesus hanging on that cross in agony, minutes before he was separated from his Father, with the sky turning supernaturally black, looking down at those who had been torturing him and crucifying him, and crying out, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." It's the story of Jesus that day taking on for me and for you all the pain, all the evil, all the suffering, all the injustice, the shame, the guilt, the torture, the war crimes, the abuse of the world, and dealing with them once and for all. It's the story of Jesus dying in our place, taking the punishment that we deserve for our sin, for our mistakes, for our mess, because he loves us, because he deeply, deeply loves us. And longs for us to come home and be in relationship with him again. And so on that cross, in that moment when all looked hopeless and it all looked a failure, all the evil, all the sin, all of our shame, all of our guilt, was taken on him. and in its place. He gave us forgiveness. He brought healing. He brought restoration with God. And he brought peace. You see, the middle of the story is a beautiful but shocking middle. An unexpected middle where victory doesn't come through power or might or celebrity or force, but through suffering and pain and humility and submission and death. But that, of course, is not where it ended, is it? For today of all days, we proclaim that the cross was not the end, but the start. For 3 days later, the stone was rolled away. Jesus broke out and was resurrected, and death and evil were defeated forever. You see, the resurrection changes everything because it shows that death could not hold him, for the power of death had been broken. It shows that Jesus really was who he said he was, the Son of God. It shows us that we really can be friends with God again, now and for all of eternity. It shows us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, not trouble or hardship or suffering or pain or danger or war or persecution or depression or shame or addiction or sin. Nothing can separate us anymore from the love of God because of the cross and because of the resurrection. And it shows us that Jesus is with us now in our pain, in our suffering, in our troubles, as one who has experienced these things for himself, as someone who wants to give us his comfort and his peace. And I want to say this beautiful story still changes lives today. And at this point, I'm going to invite Jin, my friend Jin, to come up and just tell you a little bit of his story over the last few months and how God has met him.
Hi, everyone. I wasn't ready for that. I thought I had about another 10 minutes. Hi, as Dave says, I'm Jin. I come here most Sundays, but if you don't recognise me, it's because I usually wear a cap, hoodie and the tracksuit bottoms, so I thought today I better make some sort of effort. Thank you very much. Good, first laugh out of the way. So Dave asked me to share my story today, and obviously I said, yeah, sure, why not? Woke up this morning and then realised what that actually means. Haven't written anything down, and this is the moment where I wish I had something to read off, but I don't, so here we go. I was brought up into a family whose religion was Jain. I don't know if anyone here knows the religion Jainism. It's like a branch of Hinduism. But as soon as I was old enough to think for myself, I was about 32, no joking, when I was about 10 years old, I decided that religion wasn't for me. I just didn't believe in anything, and I pronounced myself first an agnostic, and then as the years went by, I became an atheist. And that atheism grew stronger and stronger. It's like a real devout atheist. I don't know if there's any Ricky Gervais fans in the room, but I'm a big fan of Ricky Gervais, and I was almost that kind of annoying atheist. Then 7, 8 years ago, I met my wife, Esther. She's at the back of the room. She's a little bit shy. Esther's a Christian. Nothing changed. You know, we fell in love. We got married. But She had tried to have conversations with me about religion and Christianity, but I wasn't really having any of it, and she quite quickly gave up on those conversations. We even got married in the church, and looking back, it was probably the best part of the day, over the drinking and eating and dancing in the evening. I actually really enjoyed the church service. Still an atheist, nothing's changed. I used to go to church with her every now and then, mainly to, well, I said at the time it was to support her and just to be there with her, but looking back, I think I did enjoy the serenity of being in a church and being around Christians, and I liked Christian music as well. Not all of it, but most Christian music I really enjoyed. So yeah, I used to go to church with her every now and then. Now, fast forward to last summer. Me and Esther, we were, like many of us, were affected during the pandemic. We both ran our own businesses, and financially we were impacted quite hard. And we very kindly, my mother and father-in-law, Clive and Jan Hounsfield, some of you may know them, most people know Jan, they kindly let us rent out our house in Cheltenham and to live with them in Malvern so we can get back on our feet. This is just down the road from here, just off Peachfield Road. So we moved in with them last June, still an atheist. And Jan's the most Christian person I know. UCB on the radio all day, every day. I kind of always heard this stuff in the background. If I went to the kitchen to make her a cup of coffee, she was listening to Lectio, she was praying. So kind of subconsciously, these things were happening around me. And then I was going through some personal... legs keep shaking, I don't know why. I was going through some personal issues with my business. I was suffering with a lot of anxiety. I was kind of at a point where I was really struggling personally. Esther mentioned this to Jan. And Jan, one day, while Esther was at work, I worked from home, Jan asked me if she could pray for me. Now, when your in-laws let you live with them rent-free, you say yes to everything, right? So I was like, yes, Jan, absolutely, please pray with me. So Jan, and I remember it like it was yesterday, this is about 9 months ago now, she put one hand on my shoulder, one hand on my heart, and she started praying out loud for me. And then she broke out into tongues. I didn't even know this was a thing. And I was like, wow, she knows a different language, and I didn't know what was going on. But at the end of this prayer, I just burst out crying. I was really emotional. All this pent-up emotion and sadness had just came flooding out in tears. So at this point, still an atheist, something started happening. I started thinking something's going on here. So Jan suggested that maybe I should try the Alpha course. Now, I've heard many people mention this to me in the past. It's always been a straight no. But again, I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Open mind. The Alpha course was running here on a Wednesday evening, and it clashed with another commitment that I had. So Jan said, why don't you speak to Dave the vicar? You know, he's a great person. He can talk you through your problems, and it would be a good idea. Again, yes, absolutely, Jan. So I met up with Dave September, I want to say, out of the front here on the front lawn, you know, view of the Malvern Hills. It's a beautiful day. We sat on the bench, and I just told him everything. I told him what's been going on in my personal life. And Dave was obviously fantastic and talked to me. It wasn't really about God or Christianity, but it's just about, you know, how maybe I can deal with my issues. Shared some of his story with me. And then obviously he said, how about, Jin, you can't come to the Alpha course. How about I send you a couple of YouTube videos? There's this online Alpha course. Some of you may have seen this, produced by Nikki Gumbel. I said, yeah, why not? And he said, why don't I send you a couple of videos every week, and then you can come and meet me every week, and then we can have almost like a one-to-one Alpha course. And I thought, how amazing is that? Thank you, Dave. That would be, yeah, I'll give it a go. So I went away that day. He sent me a couple of links. I watched a couple of videos, and I was quite surprised. But from what I saw, I was expecting to come back with loads of, you know, challenges, loads of questions. But I didn't actually come back with that much. So I came back to meet Dave the following week. We're getting to the punchline here. And I sat down... I sat down with Dave, and he asked me what I thought of the course. I said, yeah, you know, it kind of all makes sense. I'm quite surprised. I didn't know much about Christianity, so it's quite interesting. And then I said to Dave, what's your, you know, I'm a people's person. I wanted to ask him, I didn't want to make it all about me. So, Dave, what's your story? What brought you here? You know, as a vicar in, or rector in Malvern. And he said, so I used to be a physics teacher. And I said, what's your surname, Dave? And he said, Bruce. And that was this hallelujah moment where I realized that Dave the Vicar was actually Mr. Bruce, who was my form tutor 17 years ago in my final year of school when I left school. So obviously at this point I'm like, what's going on? Dave's looking at me like, Jin, I thought I recognized you. And it all just became very clear. And what made it really significant, though, was I left school a year early, and I went to a school in Cheltenham where it wasn't, you don't really leave school early. You know, you go off to Oxford and Cambridge, let alone leaving school early. So Dave was, that year, my cousin died in a car crash tragically at the age of 19 at the start of the year, which led to me kind of going on a bit of a, you know, off piece, less safe, in year 12, so my second last year of school. So Dave was instrumental in organising my parents, headmaster, careers counsellors, everyone coming together to decide what's the best next step for me, which we decided that I'm going to leave school early. So at a time in my life when I was 17 where I really needed Dave in my life to help me to figure out what to do next, we go our separate paths. He's not from Malvern, I'm not from Malvern, but we end up 17 years later, him back when I needed him most. And at that point I thought, I don't believe in coincidence anymore. Suddenly I heard this term, God incidents, and it all makes sense. And since then, I've gone, my faith has got stronger and stronger. I pray every day. I just listen to Christian music all the time. And I come to church pretty much every Sunday. It's now me dragging Esther out of bed in the morning and say, come on, we've got to get to church. I think I've pretty much covered it. So thank you for listening.
I'm going to add one little bit. I hadn't recognised him. So that second time we met, not until he said that I realised. When I'd met him, I thought, I used to teach a guy called Jin, but I hadn't registered that actually he might be the same Jin. But the amazing thing is, that afternoon on that second visit, I'd skived out of a Dyson meeting, and I'd gone up onto the top of the hills to pray. And I'd asked God to give me a word for Jin, because I knew I was meeting him later. And he'd said to me up on the hills, he said, I felt God say that his brother had died and that he wanted Jin to know that God loved his brother. Now, when Jin told me about his cousin's motorbike accident, you know, I said, oh, perhaps I got it wrong. You know, God told me the first bit, but I got it wrong that it wasn't your brother. And Jin said, no, in my culture, your cousin is your brother. So actually, God had, on the hill that afternoon, told me of the key moment that we had last met and the turning point in Jin's life, which then again, you know, reaffirmed to both of us that, you know, God was in this. So it's an amazing story. You know, this is a beautiful story. That's a beautiful story. It's a story that always gives hope, even in the darkest of circumstances. And when Jin came and saw me that time, you know, he was in a dark place. It was in a tough place, really tough place. But he found hope, and hope changes everything. There's a song which we sometimes sing, which has these lines in it. I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. You see, the story of Easter isn't a story which says, come to Jesus and all your problems will be solved. Come to Jesus and have an easy life. I'm lying if I tell you that. No, it's a story that says we've a God who in Jesus knows about suffering and struggle. And that this side of eternity, there will still be hard times and pain and struggle and suffering. But up from those ashes, the ashes of hopelessness and despair, the ashes of war, the ashes of broken relationships, the ashes of grief, the ashes of failure and shame, the ashes of disappointment, up from those ashes, hope will arise because of the cross and of the resurrection. This beautiful story declares to the world that God is in the resurrection business. He's not distant from our troubled and broken world, but he enters into it, draws alongside us in the mess, in the pain, in the struggle, in the hopelessness, in the failure. He comes to find us, even in the darkest, deepest places of despair. And he brings us hope and new life and transformation, and reveals to each one of us just how much he loves us. So how will we respond to this beautiful story today? You know, if you're sitting in the congregation today and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, as Jin wasn't back in September, then I encourage you, like Jin did, to explore this beautiful story for yourself. You know, we've got the Start course coming up. If you're interested in that, then grab one of these. Book into that. If you want to do Alpha one-to-one, I'll do Alpha one-to-one with you like I did with Jin. You know, we've got these booklets called the Easter Connection, which are great little booklets. I'd love to give you one. There's some on the table on the way out, or come and grab one off me. I'd love you to take that away. Read the Bible. Find out for yourself who you think Jesus is. Have an open heart, and Jesus might just surprise you. And if and when you're ready to follow Jesus, all we do is, you know, what Jin did. Take a few simple steps. You might even be ready to take those this morning. Say sorry for going your own way. We call it repentance in the Bible. Turn around and follow Jesus' way. Believe that Jesus died for you and loves you and wants to walk with you. And follow his way to live his life his way with his help. And if you're already a follower of Jesus, then I want to offer you two ways this morning to respond. Firstly, to ask God to help you see this world through Easter eyes, through the eyes of this beautiful story. You know, when we look at this picture again of Ukraine through Easter eyes, even though there's so much we don't understand and so much mess and so much pain and so much suffering in what looks like total destruction, through Easter eyes, the truth is that God is there at work, through the suffering, through the mess, and that he will bring new life, both in this world and the world to come. Maybe you have a situation today which looks hopeless. You find yourself in a storm today. You find yourself in the midst of failure, looking like everything's a disaster. Well, maybe it's a relationship, or maybe it's an issue with a job, a bereavement, an illness, anxiety or depression, whatever it is. I encourage you, take that situation and look at it through the eyes of this beautiful story and offer it to God and pray that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will bring you new life and hope and bring resurrection in that situation. That's the first thing. And secondly, I just want to say, do what those first disciples were told to do. In this morning's reading, what does it say at the end of the reading? It said, go into all the worlds and preach the good news. You know, go into your homes, your communities, your workplaces, your neighborhoods, and proclaim this beautiful story afresh through your words, through your actions, through your love for others. Go and bring God's hope and light and life to the dark places of our world. Go and be part, as God invites you to, of God's rescue plan. Go and tell this beautiful story to a broken and anxious world. Go and tell them that it all has a beautiful middle. And go and tell them that it ends well. Let's just have a moment of quiet. If the band could come back up again, and they're going to lead us in a song in a moment, but let's just be still first. And during the song, there's an opportunity to respond in a physical way, if you like. You know, maybe you're not a Christian and actually you want to say, I want to know God. Maybe you don't understand everything yet. That's okay. But actually, if you want to move towards God today, and I give you the opportunity to step out and come forward. I've got some oil here that I'd love to anoint anyone who wants to. If you're not a Christian, I'll anoint you, and just we'll pray right now. I'll give you one of these books right now if that's what you want. If you are already a follower of Jesus, and perhaps this Easter realize that actually you've let go of following him wholeheartedly, that perhaps the reality of following him has just diminished over the last few months, last couple of years. Maybe actually today Jesus wants to resurrect your faith, and you want to resurrect your faith. You know, if that's you, then, you know, I'd love to anoint you with oil too during this next song. And if you just want to be anointed with oil anyway, if you're doing well with God, just come anyway. You know, it doesn't matter what you're coming for. If you want to say yes to God, wherever you are this morning, as we sing this song, there's a chance to be anointed. A few of us are going to be up here. So if that's right for you, then do that. We're going to sing this song, and then the children will come back, and we're going to move into communion. Let's stand.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was falling. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave. Heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave. The war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. The ground begins to shake. The storm was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. The ground begins to shake. The storm was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
Forever he is glorified.
We sing hallelujah.
If you want to be anointed still, you know, we'll stay here until everyone who wants to be anointed will be anointed, either after communion or after the service. But welcome back, children. Hope you've had a great time this morning. We're going to come around the Lord's table now and celebrate together and receive this gift of this bread and the wine as we remember once again Jesus' sacrifice for us. So the peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Let's just briefly share with each other a socially distant sign of the peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And we say the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. Jesus, we thank you for creating the world, for creating the world, for coming to earth, for coming to earth. Jesus, we thank you for showing us what God is like, for showing us what God is like, for dying to set us free, for dying to set us free.
Make the wretches tremble.
before he died, Jesus had supper with his friends and he took a loaf of bread and he gave thanks to you, Father. He broke it and gave it to them saying, take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. Father, today we remember Jesus. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this to remember me. Father, we do this to remember Jesus. He has forgiven us.
I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Jesus Christ has died. Jesus Christ has died. Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ will come again. Jesus Christ will come again. And so, Father, as we remember his death and resurrection, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and wine we bring before you may be for us Christ's body and his blood. Pour your Spirit on us that we may love one another as we work for the peace of the earth and wait for Jesus to come in glory. For honour and praise belong to you, Father, with Jesus your Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And let's remain standing to say the Lord's Prayer today. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. We're going to worship in song while we take communion too, so I suggest we stand still. Keep standing. There's going to be a station at the back and there's going to be a station at the front. Do come when you're directed. If you want non-alcoholic wine or gluten-free, then please come to the front. If you're happy taking normal stuff, then just go to the back. If you don't want to receive communion, then just put your hands down in front of you and we'll say a blessing for you. If you do want to receive communion, please just put your hands out like that. Don't try and take the wafer from me. I'll drop it into your hands. That way we'll have minimal touching we'll receive that. But as you take it today, look at the cross. Look at the tomb. Ask Jesus to reveal to you even more deeply than you've ever known before the amazing, beautiful Easter story that we tell today. Thank you. Come to sing our final song. You know, if you want to be anointed and didn't get a chance first time round, Alice, Helen will come up again. There'll be opportunities to be anointed again this time if you wish. So just keep coming. But let's sing our final rousing song together.
Jesus,
cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus lived and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound,
just a reminder, if you, not yet, if you would like more information about the Start course, do pick up one of these or come and catch me afterwards, or catch Gin, go and have a chat to Gin about some of his journey. If you want to grab one of these on the way out, do grab one of these on the way out. If you want to give to Ukrainian refugees and Terry and Hanka's work there for them, then please do give, and let's bless them on our Easter Sunday here. A final prayer. So go out into the world as the Easter people of God in this place. And may the God who raised Jesus from the dead grant you grace. The Son who gave his life for you give you peace. And the Spirit who is with you day by day inspire you to greater service, both now and forevermore. Amen. And may the blessing of God, the Father Almighty, May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. If you would like someone to pray with you, do come to the front after the service or for more anointing. But other than that, we're heading out. For the first time in 3 years, we do have the St. Andrew's Easter Egg Rolling Competition. Outside the hall, I've got more Easter eggs. If you haven't got one with you, come and grab one off me. We're going to have a bit of fun, but don't rush away from here if you've still got business with God to do. Thank you so much for coming and joining us today.
And you're very welcome to join in if you know this last piece.